happening locally. The news.
And it is our midweek look, our Wednesday morning look, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. The Epidemiological Department of the Ministry of Health confirmed on Tuesday that the 10th case of monkeypox has been detected in the country. This 10th case corresponds to a 29-year-old man, a foreigner, residing in Panama. Now, according to the Ministry of Health, the source of contagion in this case is related to one already detected in Panama and with which he had close contact. Subsequently, this 29-year-old patient presented symptoms with fever, malaise and joint pain. On the 28th of August, vesicular lesions appeared on his skin, so he went to the Parque Lefebvre Polycentre a day later. There, the samples are taken and sent to the Gorgas Commemorative Institute for Health Studies, resulting in positive for monkeypox. The patient is stable in home isolation, the ministry specified in their report. After confirming the 10th case of monkeypox in the country, the head of health, Luis Francisco Sucre, reiterated that there is already community transmission of monkeypox in the country. Sucre said the steps are being taken with the Pan American Health Organization for the acquisition of 1,000 vaccines to combat the disease and that anyone who is at risk can apply it. The official explained that the monkeypox vaccine has been approved for emergency use by the United States Food and Drug Administration and that Panama is among the first countries to receive it. The transmission of monkeypox from person to person can occur through skin lesions from one infected person to another, respiratory and body fluids, and also through infected clothing or any surface that has had contact with the lesions. Well, since last May the 24th, Panama declared a health alert throughout the country and epidemiological surveillance was redoubled in all health regions and entry points into the national territory. Worldwide, data reported by the World Health Organization indicated that the majority of cases are men. 93% of cases are between 25 and 45 years of age, one of the main routes of transmission being contact made during sexual intercourse. Denise Vega de Mersey, one of those charged in the case of clandestine vaccination against COVID-19, reached an effective collaboration agreement and a sentence of 48 months in prison on the 30th of August. The agreement was validated by a judge during an approval hearing held on Tuesday. The anti-corruption prosecutor, Marina Garcia, said that during the hearing that Vega provided extensive information that has helped clarify the investigation. However, the agreement is not yet in force since it will be executed once the accused appears and declares in court that for this reason, two other people are being followed, Matias Perez Escudero and Celine Gazal de Eses. The first is preventively detained while Gazal de Eses has a precautionary measure preventing him from leaving the country and periodic notification. There is one person under investigation who is on the run. Vega de Mersey and Celine Gazal de Eses organized clandestine vaccinations against COVID-19 in buildings in Coco del Mar and Punta Pacifica in June of 2021, violating the protocols of the Ministry of Health in force at that time. In Coco del Mar, the crime took place in a commercial premises in Vega de Mersey and in Punta Pacifica in the residence of Gazal de Eses. Perez Escudero, meanwhile, was identified as the person transporting the vaccines. The anti-corruption prosecutor, Itzel Ku, said that in the investigations it was possible to establish that in the days organized by the two accused, the vaccine against COVID-19 was not supplied, but another type of medication. In addition, the vaccination cards given to those vaccinated were also false. It must be remembered that in this case it arose as a result of a report by La Prensa, signed by the journalist Flor Mizrachi on the 8th of June of last year, which reported on these activities carried out in Coco del Mar and Punta Pacifica. During these clandestine days, a total of 16 people were vaccinated on the 1st of June in Punta Pacifica, while another 16 were vaccinated on the 7th of June in Coco del Mar. That same day, the ministry filed a complaint with the public ministry. After 2 days' hearing, Prosecutor Ku reported that despite the different procedures carried out In conjunction with the National Police, it has not yet been possible to locate a fourth person allegedly linked to the crime. Between August the 29th and 30th, Richard Pfeiffer, former governor of the province of Coquelles, is tried for his alleged commission of the crime of improper withholding of employee-employer contributions to the detriment of the Social Security Fund for an amount of more than $6 million. The oral trial court is held in the facilities of the accusatory penal system in the district of Pennes-Normé in the province of Cologne. It began on the morning of Monday. According to the judicial branch, the trial court is made up of judges Virginia Rodriguez, who presides over it, Florilia Bonilla and Amarelis Sucre. The hearing began with the opening arguments by the public prosecutor's office and the private technical defence, and later the evidentiary presentation by the interveners began. The presentation of 25 pieces of evidence is planned, including testimonials, expert opinions and documents. The public ministry is represented by the Superior Anti-Corruption Prosecutor, Mahmoud Daoud Hassan, and the Deputy Prosecutor, Ormedo Gomez, while the private technical defence is in the charge of Julio Pinzon Cosillo. The investigation was initiated by the alleged withholding of contributions from the Social Security Fund at the end of 2013 until January of 2015 through the company's Petequia Gold S.A., and Panama Desarrollo y Infraestructura S.A., of which the former governor was the legal representative of Coquelles. One person died as a result of a fire which was registered this Tuesday in the Torre El Cangrejo building located on Via Argentina. The victim corresponded to a 90-year-old woman who lived alone and could not leave the building on time, reported Luis Jaramillo of the Panama Fire Department. As a result of this event, the Homicide and Femicide Section of the Metropolitan Prosecutor's Office reported that it has opened an investigation. Residents of the area indicated that before 6 a.m. they heard a loud explosion. At 5:45 a.m., I heard a fairly loud noise that woke me up, said one of the residents of a building diagonal to Torre del Cangrejo. He narrated that he later heard a person in a nearby building who shouted, "Fire!" And it was then that he was able to observe the emergency that arose on the penultimate floor of the affected building. The firefighters arrived in 10 minutes, quite quickly, and at once they began to work, he said. The two roads were closed so that the other firefighters could enter. It helped that at that time in the morning there was not much traffic. Preliminary, it has been announced that three floors, that's 11, 12 and 13, were damaged. Firefighters realised that the explosion began on the 12th floor and then spread to the 11th and 13th floors. Similarly, an adjoining building was affected by the debris. Meanwhile, about 120 people are evacuated by rescue personnel. At least 8 people received assistance due to nervous breakdowns, it was learnt. Officials from 3 stations of the Panama Fire Department moved to the emergency area, the entity reported on its social networks, that after 6:30 a.m. the fire had already been controlled. Personnel from the Fire Safety Prevention and Investigation Directorate arrived at the site to initiate the corresponding investigation. Officials from the 911 and the National Police were also at the scene. On the 18th of July, the preliminary hearing in the case of the bribes that Odebrecht paid in Panama was postponed until the 12th of September. The reason? The absence of various defence attorneys with various excuses, some of them medical. The suspension once again delayed a judicial process, a frequent practice in high-profile cases. The independent deputy, Gabriel Silva, presented before the National Assembly on the 10th of August a preliminary bill that prohibits judicial abuse. In the explanatory memorandum, Silva defines abuse of law as the use of resources and or legal mechanisms in judicial proceedings with the intention of delaying or hindering the judicial process for the benefit of a client. He argues that the current procedural laws do not contemplate the appropriate mechanisms to ensure that the substance of the process does not yield to the form. He considers it fundamental to have a law of this type. The draft law, which must be debated in the first debate in the Government, Justice and Constitutional Affairs Commission, establishes, for example, the prohibition of the presentation of false medical disabilities. It also provides mechanisms to prohibit the substitution of a judiciary for the purpose of postponing a proceeding. The draft has an article that refers directly to doctors who issue false or inaccurate disability certificates and proposes to remove their license to operate. The other component of the proposal is the empowerment of judges in the processes to fine legal representatives who enter into an abuse of rights. They may also be unaware of the legal resources that are made by abusing legal norms. The initiative states that judges must base their decisions on substantive issues. The aim is to avoid the prescription of the process due to the absence of the investigated party. Now, Article 285 of the Criminal Procedure Code would be modified to develop the concept of absence of the investigated party and allow him to be charged when he is summoned and does not appear. For the former magistrate of the Supreme Court of Justice, Harry Diaz, the accusatory penal system must allow charges and hearings despite the absence of the investigated or if his lawyer does not give a valid excuse. It also advocates the non-prescription of serious crimes or corruption. On the other hand, the president of the Court of Honour of the National Bar Association, Antonio Loaiza, sees with concern that they seek to criminalise the practice of law. In his opinion, the way should be prevention. He stressed that the Code of Ethics for lawyers contemplates offences for hindering or delaying justice. And the Institute of National Aqueducts and Sewers, IDAN, reported on the afternoon of yesterday, Tuesday, that the districts of Panama and San Miguelito, there will be a lack of water and low pressure at high points due to the fact that the Chalibre water treatment plant decreased its production. According to the entity, the plant decreased its production to 80% of its capacity due to an internal failure, which was not detailed by IDAN in its statement. However, he clarified that the technical personnel carry out the evaluations of the system to recover the production of drinking water for the so-called metropolitan area. Generally, when this mishap occurs, the places that are affected are Bella Vista, La Cresta, Perejil, Betania, Miraflores, Altos de Miraflores, La Losaria, Tumbonhueto, and Clayton. Customers in the areas of San Francisco, Rio Abajo, Hato Pintado, Obarrio, October 12, El Dorado, Limajo dos Mares, Villa de las Fuentes 1 y 2, Santa Maria and Altos de Panama were also affected. In addition, sectors of the district of San Miguelito and areas far from the network, which range from Pedregal to La Siesta de Tocumen, may see their water service interrupted. And that's it. There we go. There's our look. Those are some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama, compiled for you on this morning's breakfast show.